Well, this morning we're going to be talking about one of the better known chapters in Scripture, and it's known, well, for a number of reasons, not least of which is you frequently hear parts of it at weddings. And there's nothing wrong with that, of course. It's a wonderful statement on that. But let's not forget that Paul did not think as he was writing, wait a second, someday people are going to want a good little exposition on love when they get married, so I'll just plunk it here in the middle of this letter to the church at Corinth, which would make no sense for all kinds of reasons, not least of which the church of Corinth is one of those really troublesome kinds of churches. And Paul's writing this letter of correction, and it doesn't mean that when we use 1 Corinthians 13 at weddings and things that there's anything wrong with that, because the statements it makes are perfectly appropriate there. But it's helpful for us to remember that when Paul wrote this, he was writing it to a bunch of people who had some serious misunderstandings about what it meant to be in a church and what it meant to be a Christian. And in particular, they were having serious problems about what to do with spiritual gifts. And you remember from last week, and if you're reading, even the week when I wasn't here, well, when nobody was here, 1 Corinthians 12 is all about spiritual gifts and what they are. And when we look at the larger context of 1 Corinthians, Paul is writing this letter saying, okay, you think this is the way things work, but you've misunderstood. They actually work this way. And he talks in chapter 12 about all the different kinds of spiritual gifts. And then in chapter 13, he starts zeroing in a very real sense, on what's the purpose of these whole things or why they're there. And what Paul is talking about in these paragraphs, it breaks down fairly nicely into sort of three little groups. In the first one, that Paul is telling the people at Corinth and telling us as well, that love is essential for spiritual gifts to be used properly. Because when he says things like, if I speak in the tongues of human beings and even of angels, but don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal, he's then goes on to the other gifts. What he's saying is that the fact that you can do extraordinary things in and of itself isn't enough. The fact that you can convince people to do what you need them to do or what you want them to do in such a way that it appears that the Holy Spirit is behind all of this, that doesn't necessarily mean it is if you're lacking one thing, and that's love. What Paul wants people to realize is that spiritual gifts, when they're exercised without this foundation of love for the people that you're working with and that you're exercising your gift with or for, it's useless. And it's useless in an ultimate kind of sense, and it's frequently useless even in the short term. I think all of us have been around people who are quite capable of doing what we need to us rather than for us. And think back to those times when people have helped you because you're too stupid to do it yourself. And think of the appreciation you had for them doing it for you and how that stuck with you, but in all the wrong ways. It's because what was done, even if it was the right thing in one sense to be done, done for the wrong reasons, it doesn't last. It doesn't have that same sense of accomplishment that changes people forever. It just gets a thing done. Loveless spirituality, even if it's dramatic, is still inauthentic. And it still isn't doing what it's supposed to do because it's coming from the wrong place. And then Paul goes on with this long list of things, starting in verse 4, about what love is and what it isn't. Love is patient, it's kind, it's not envious, doesn't boast, it's not proud, it goes on and on. And what it's getting at, in a very real sense also, what Paul's getting at, is that love is not just this warm emotion, which it certainly is, but it also has practical outcomes. Love does things. And the things that it does and the things that it doesn't do are laid out here. We can borrow, if you will, from James, where he talks about, show me your faith, but if you don't have anything behind it, if you don't do anything, I'll tell you your faith is dead. And I think we can sort of look at it this way, that if you love people but never do anything for them, Do you really love them? You can say that you love somebody as much as you like, but if you don't help them when they need the help that you can provide, is that really love? Is that love, well, is it real? Or is it just this sort of general pleasant disposition towards people, which is better than an unpleasant disposition, I suppose. Well, let's call it what it is. It's, you know, that you, all in all, you hope people are okay, is something altogether different from loving them enough to go out of your way to help them when you can. And the flip side, are you willing to, well, to not do those things? When somebody's talking about somebody that you say you love, and they're not in the, if they're not there, if somebody's talking about someone you love behind their back in ways that are unpleasant and you don't correct them, if you don't defend the person who isn't there, what does that say about the quality of love you have for them, other than that it's probably not very high? We've reached this, in some ways our culture has elevated the notion of love higher than it can really go. And part of that is because it's been defined primarily as a feeling. And it is a feeling, but if the feeling doesn't go anywhere, that's not really what love is. It's certainly not according to Paul. That the love that we have for people, for institutions, for the beliefs that we hold, if it doesn't change our behavior at times, it's probably something other than love. And the last thing that Paul talks about, which starts in verse 8, is that love is permanent. Love never fails. It's just right out there. And let's remember that Paul's talking about this once again in the context of spiritual gifts and the exercising of them in the church. Because he goes on to say, after he says love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. And he goes on. He says all of these things that we do will pass. The prophecies that we make, the knowledge that we have, they're for a particular purpose, for a particular time. That's what spiritual gifts are for. Spiritual gifts are given not just because they exist, but they're given to be used. Someone with a spiritual gift of giving who never gives, well, there's something amiss there. Someone with a spiritual gift of prophecy who never communicates to anyone, there's something amiss there. They're given to be used, but when they're used, that's what they're for. But what makes the outcome stay around, what makes the outcome permanent, isn't the gift itself, but it's what drives the gift. It's the love that makes for permanence. Because love never fails. Love is eternal and it never ends, and what it does keeps going. How many of us still have that clear recollection of the acts of love that people who are no longer with us still continues within us? And it's not even so much what they did, because what they did is probably over and done with. The sacrifices that your parents might have made for you, or your grandparents, or whoever it is, so that you might have some physical thing. The physical thing, maybe you have it with you, but maybe you don't. Maybe it is, when you look in retrospect, that your parents did without things so that you could go to that event. You could have those skates or whatever it was. Well, the skates are gone. The event that your parents sacrificed for is over. But the impact it had, that continues. And I'm sure the impact of the event or the opportunity to play hockey or whatever it might be is still there. But what really continues? It's a realization that they did this because they loved you. And it changed you forever. Is this even possible? Is it possible for us to have this kind of view of love and then work it out? Well, there's so many things. The answer is yes and no. The no comes fairly straightforward. If we think that love is a warm feeling, and without the warm feeling, we can't do the things that love demands, then no, it won't be permanent because we've misunderstood what's going on. Is it possible? Yes. But only when we realize that this love that we're talking about has been most perfectly demonstrated by Jesus, fully human and fully God at the same time, and that it's the God who loves us no matter what who makes this possible in and through us. Particularly in what Paul is talking about, the exercise of the spiritual gifts that we all have, those things that have been given to us so that we can accomplish what only we can accomplish because of where we are and the people we're in contact with and all of those things. The impact that we can have when we exercise those things can be permanent, but only when we're doing it from the correct source, only when we're doing it realizing that it's the love of God that first energizes us to do these things. It gives us the strength to do them, and it's through the love of God that we get these gifts in the first place. If we try to do these things in our own strength, we'll have a certain kind of effectiveness because all of us are reasonably capable, reasonably clever people. But if we want to have the impact that we believe spiritual gifts can, it's when we do them in conjunction with the overwhelming love of God working through us, which will sometimes get us to do more than we thought we could. We'll open our eyes to opportunities we wouldn't have seen otherwise. But when we do that, when we're willing to do that, that's when we see these permanent, unfailing outcomes that love can provide. Amen.